They supported administrative charge. We had about 50% of our stakeholders saying, I want a capacity auction. We had about 50% saying, I want an administrative settlement. So what we try to do is hit a happy medium and have administrative charge, but also the voluntary style auction. We think it's, right now, it's, we think it has merit to it. Only time will tell. So that has been our answer to how we're going to try to get new steel in the ground from a generation perspective as we go forward. Next slide, please. Other parts is infrastructure planning. Transmission planning is critical. I think we're about 30 years behind. We need to encourage transmission construction. Our Midwest transmission expansion plan that will be adopted by our board in December has about $5.7 billion worth of investment, and that's looking out over a 10-year period. About 2,200 miles of new transmission, and while our projects are mainly reliability related, which Mr. Ott referred to, it still provides over $1 billion of annual economic benefit through also solving congestion problems. We have about between $600 and $800 million worth of congestion costs throughout our footprint today. So a more robust transmission system will help us capture those savings and pass them on to the ultimate consumer who pays the bills at the end of the line. We have various studies going on with members of various states, a regional generation outlet study with four states to look at how they're going to meet transmission for renewables within their own states. Another group of five states are looking at how they can get together and meet all the wind requirements that may be in their footprint along the western side of our footprint. The two Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin have gone together. And that was really started by the governors of those states. We're not leading those that effort. We are simply a resource in providing some studies and planning efforts for them. The ultimate goal for them is to develop a transmission plan to meet wind requirements and also how they're going to cost share in the that new construction. And I have to say to you, one of the most contentious issues we got in our organization right now is how do you cost share on transmission? That is a major item we got to deal with over the next 12 to 18 months. Next slide, please. If one were to say that there should be a 765 transmission backbone, I'm not saying that there should be. I'm just saying there's been discussion about that. It may have a merit to it, and we will be looking at that. But you do get some efficiencies from a thermal perspective. One 765 is equal to about six 345 kV lines. You save rights away. You save a lot of issues with the general public. Increase efficiency as well, both from line losses and congestion. So from a flexibility standpoint, redispatch reasons, better efficient utilization of the transmission and generation system, it might make a lot of sense, as well as for renewables integration. And to me, that's going to be a big driver of a major backbone throughout the system.
Less than a minute, sir.
One last slide. Just our future's challenging, okay? And we've got a lot to do, and we want to be a resource for y'all and help you meet those challenges as we go forward. I appreciate very much the opportunity to appear before you and be glad to address any questions that you may have.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. I just have one real quick question. I was listening very attentively to the capacity market plan that you have, and it sounds very intriguing to me and sounds quite logical. Did you see a real need for capacity here moving in the next 3 or 4 years, and what might be the, is there any action plan on the part of MISO to maybe consider having an auction to encourage new generation via MISO conducting that versus the individual members doing their own contracting and their own facilities?
No, sir, I do not. I see that within our footprint, OMS has a lot of input into our decision-making process. They were very adamant to us during our deliberations that they did not want a capacity market. Thus, we went this route and felt like that would supply the right incentive, if you will, for people to start to put new generation in the ground. And Vice Chairman, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that a spot capacity market is going to incent new baseload capacity. I'm not saying that it won't. I'm just not sure that it will either. And I don't think we have enough experience to determine whether the shorter-term capacity markets will actually incent that kind of investment. I don't know. We felt like that if we can have a planning reserve, get the states to buy into it, get them to sign off on the planning reserves, and either change it as they see fit, because they're ultimately responsible, and that there will be administrative charges and bilaterals to surround that, and we thought that was the best answer for our particular footprint.
Okay, interesting. Well, I would share your comment there. I agree with it regarding the spot market is probably not sufficient to support building, say, a new baseload coal-fired generation resource. I'm convinced that we need long-term contracts in order to encourage that kind of generation to occur at the end of the day, and I just don't think the spot market will ever get us to the promised land on that particular issue. That's all I have. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Powelson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. Edwards, thanks for being here. Hopefully we'll have you back again. You hit on one of the key themes that kind of, when I'm out there talking to people, it's the infrastructure equation. You know, China spends 9% of their GDP on infrastructure. India is upwards of 6%, and the good old US of A, less than 2%. And I think we often get caught up as infrastructure being roads and bridges. Well, it's transmission. And I commend you for stepping up and talking about that issue. I think it has a profound impact here in Pennsylvania, as and certainly in MISO, with the renewable build-out that's taking place. So I'd like to get your thoughts there. And then my second question would be on smart meters. And one of my concerns is, as we venture out here in the marketplace in Pennsylvania, we as a commission giving guidance to the technology, or looking at the common denominator we'd like to see in the technology, so we don't have a situation where companies are rolling this technology out and it's outdated and they have to go back. So get your thoughts on that as well as we go through this and the provisions outlined in House Bill 2200.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just a few thoughts on renewables and integration of renewables from a transmission perspective. It really does concern me. I think that there's also another study going on right now that is includes Midwest ISO, PJM, SPP, New York ISO, New England ISO, TVA, as well as the Department of Energy. And that study is saying what would happen if there were a 20% federal mandate for renewables. The studies preliminary indicate that if that were to happen, then about 90,000 megawatts of wind would show up within our footprint on the western side of our footprint. That concerns me, because with that 90,000 megawatts, then we project that if that were to happen, then you would have to invest probably around $45 billion of transmission just to deliver it to the load centers. Not even considering if there are some implications, because wind is variable and you got to maybe follow it to a certain extent, or the operational impacts of that as well. So it really does concern me. The biggest issue I believe that we face is lack of transmission construction is, from an economic standpoint, as Mr. Ott said, as you look at building it to relieve congestion and not reliability, is cost allocation and cost recovery. Because I firmly believe that if you have some agreement among the states on cost allocation, and that electrons don't stop at state borders, and you get that you do benefit from it, then if we can get agreement on cost allocation, then that provides some certainty on cost recovery, and I think that is the way that we're going to see new transmission being constructed in this country. So I think that those are the issues that we are starting to struggle with within our organization and working with the OMS as well. Going to the smart meters, demand response, those issues, what our philosophy is that we want to develop a platform at the wholesale level that will enable retail demand response to take place. And whatever that is, I'm not sure. I think that various states are ahead of others. I think some utility companies are ahead of others. But I do see that load aggregators are out there trying to develop demand response programs, trying to have the smart buildings and things of that nature. I do think that we need to invest, and whether it's through EPRI or whatever it is, we need to invest more monies into the technology and looking at the meters at the retail level. Now, we have invested significant monies and resources into our technology at the wholesale level, but we still got a ways to go on the retail level.
Thank you.
Commissioner Pounce, have you completed your question? Thank you. Commissioner Pinzon-Grelli.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. As you know, Pennsylvania has a small but important piece in MISO. And along those lines, how is the tie-in with Duquesne Light integration progressing?
Sure. We have been working very closely with Duquesne, but also with PJM, to ensure that it will be an orderly transfer. It's going real well. We have been working with their management, their controllers, their operators very closely. And at this point in time, they cannot integrate. Let me back a minute, Commissioner. Sorry. They have signed the transmission owners agreement within the Midwest ISO, and said that they would like to come. We are working through the integration issues, but they cannot integrate into our system until we become a single balancing authority. So until we get answer service markets in place on January the 6th, there will be a 30-day reversion potential after that. So it's got to be at least 30 days after that before they would be willing to integrate. So at this point in time, we're probably looking at the March 1, April 1 time frame before integration would take place. I do think that the filings with FERC issues have been worked out. We've been working very closely with PJM on issues, and I think that that's going very well.
So most likely by April you'll assume responsibility?
That is our anticipation at this point in time.
Thank you. Serving on OMS, I know there's so many issues, and you have always been available and accessible to OMS. Are there any issues that you feel need priority at OMS that you're looking for guidance on?
Yes, ma'am. The one issue that I said was the most contentious issue we've got right now is cost sharing on transmission. And until we get that resolved, I don't see major transmission being constructed. I will say that OMS has stepped up, and I appreciate that very much. They indicated in August at our open board meeting that they want to take a leadership role. Commissioner Azar from Wisconsin is heading up that group. In addition, we will be reconstituting a cost sharing task force. And we're hopeful that she will also chair that. So OMS is taking a leadership role, for which we're very appreciative.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Gardner.
Thank you as well, Mr. Edwards, for coming today. I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Ott earlier, which is the amount of generation that you have versus the amount of demand response that you have under control currently.
Sure. Yes, sir. About 133,000 megawatts of capacity throughout the system of all types. Right now we have about 8,600 megawatts of demand response that I will qualify as saying it's your legacy demand response, your interruptible program with large industry. I would differentiate that from a in-use demand response program. And at this point in time, that's what we've been focused on, is make sure that we can work with those interruptible customers of our load-serving entities. We do not have the ability in our market to have load aggregators bid into our marketplace. It's got to come through the load-serving entities. So we have made it clear to our load-serving entities that we'll work with them any way we can to make sure that their programs will fit our wholesale platform. But at this point in time, that's been moving very slowly.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Edwards, thanks for coming. I look forward to meeting with you more at length, particularly now that Duquesne Light is going to be a member of your organization as well as Penn Power.
Sir.
So I'll save my questions for then.
I will look forward to it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions for the witness? Thank you, sir, Mr. Edwards, for coming. And I believe the next thing on our agenda is a short break for 15 minutes.